faith, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Well, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, if you will. Acts chapter 20. I want to read honestly. I think it's one of my favorite stories in the Word of God. I identify with the fellow here, okay? I just identify with this guy. And so maybe you identify with other people in the Bible, but I identify with Eutychus. He's just a fellow that I've been there. Not all the way there, but close. Acts chapter 20. The Bible said, and we sailed away, down in verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Don't ever complain about my long-winded preaching, all right? And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. This is one of my favorite accounts in the Word of God. Sleeping in church has been the subject of many cartoons, many jokes, many stories. But it can be real serious business, all right, because it can have serious consequences. If you don't believe it, ask Eutychus, all right, when you get to see him one of these days. And the amazing thing to me is, though, the problem of sleeping in church, you know, usually is blamed on the preacher. It's your fault, preacher. You know, it's up to you to keep me awake. That's usually the way it's approached, you know. But, the truth of the matter is, the problem of sleeping is usually caused by an absence of activity. I used to we'd go down to my in-law's house. They lived in Granbury at the time. We'd go down there and maybe we'd have a meal or something. I'd get in a recliner, kick my feet back, and it was a very comfortable place. And before long, I was really enjoying my visit. I was sleeping, you know. There wasn't any activity going on. But usually, though, we don't look at it that way. We blame it on the preacher, but it's not necessarily his fault. For instance, Eutychus here had the privilege of being and hearing one of the greatest preachers in history, yet he wound up falling asleep, wound up dead, all right? He was dead because he fell, and he fell because he was asleep, and he was asleep because something was wrong with him, not with the preacher, all right? It was wrong with him. Isn't it amazing, though, the one that fell asleep is the one got all the attention? Everybody that was awake, nobody watched them. You ever been in church and somebody falls asleep? And before long, people poking. Right? Yeah, that's the way we are. Everybody, the preacher's up here doing his best, and one person out there not with it, and they go to sleep, and everybody gets focused on that one instead of on all the others that are awake. And all the attention fell on him. But there were a whole lot more that weren't asleep than the one that was asleep, all right? Now, I've thought about it. I'm really not sure what caused him to fall asleep while Paul was preaching, all right? But I want to draw it to our time, okay? I don't know why many people come to church today. Sometimes I think they might as well fall asleep because they don't seem to get much out of the service. You begin to look at them, you know, and they just don't seem to get too much from it. And what I want to preach to you on tonight, and I'm preaching hoping we've got folks listening in and tuning in. I know I've talked to several today that told me, preacher, I'll be listening tonight. They weren't going to be here. And But I want to talk to you about getting the most out of being in church, okay? Just getting the most out of being in church. And you say, well, how do you go about that? Well, I want to compare it, if you will, to a football game. I want to use that analogy. And the reason I do is because I've been to a lot of football games, and I enjoy going to football games, you know. But I want to use that analogy of going to the football game as opposed or compared to going to church, all right? Now, most people enjoy going to a ball game. Most people enjoy going to a ball game. I do remember one time years ago going to state championship games. They were playing them over in Texas, the old Texas Stadium in Irving. And we were there, and we were sitting beside, sitting here, and I noticed this man, and he was sitting there with what turned out to be his wife, and she had a paper sack, like a old grocery sack, you know, about that tall. And she's back there, and she had a book. She had knitting. And I talked to everybody, okay? So I saw her. I said, well, I see you really came to enjoy the game, you know, And she said, well, truthfully, I don't care anything about football, but I do like being with my husband. I thought, well, that's all right, you know. So she came to the game, and we're watching the game. She's knitting or she's reading a book, you know. Well, most people go to the game because they enjoy the game. And so I want to just draw that comparison, if I could, tonight just a little bit. First of all, I want you to think of it in this form. If you're going to get the most out of being in the house of God, there ought to be a sense of expectation. There ought to be a sense of expectation. For instance, people going to a football game go early. Go early. Man, they even have what they call tailgate parties, right? And they'll go, and some people, man, they go big time. They bring a grill, they're barbecuing and all that kind of stuff, you know. I've been to state championship games where people are standing in line 2 hours before they were going to open the gate. Because, man, it's the general admission seating, and first person in, you get the best seat. Whatever you consider the best seat, you can get it, you know. And I've been there in a big, long line waiting to get it. People are chomping at the bit, just hoping and expecting, and they're thinking, boy, it's going to be great, you know. There's excitement. I've even been there in line before when there's cheering going on. The game, not even, we don't even know if anybody's on the field. And people are cheering, and they see somebody from the other team, you know, dressed in their colors, and they'll boo them, and it's good-natured, all right? Now, the throwing of the rocks, no, I was kidding. It's good-natured stuff, but it's that sense of expectation. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? It's that sense, and it gets going, and there's excitement in the air, you know. We're going to a football game. Well, compare that to coming to church. I don't know, have you ever been in church where you saw a line waiting for them to open the door? You know, people come early, I mean, just fight to get there, right? They want to be there early. No. It's not that way. The truth of the matter is almost the opposite, you know. It's almost the opposite. They rush in late. I say rush in late, drag in late, all right? I've often said the theme song for many churches will be "When the Saints Come Dragging In," all right? Because people come dragging in late or right at the last minute, right before the start, you know, and they're looking for a seat that's kind of out of the way, and nobody maybe, you know, I just get here, and they sit down, and they're not there very long, and you see people stifling a yawn. I've said to many people, wait a minute, I hadn't even started preaching. You got to give me a fair shot, all right? But that's the way people come to church. They are, you know, and they sit down, and one of the things they do is they begin to go looking over his shoulder at the clock in the back, you know. We're trying that out. Why is it we're like that coming to the house of God? Have you ever thought what it'd be like? Look in Psalm chapter 122, would you? 122nd Psalm. Would you just look there with me? A well-known verse of Scripture. And just look at it with me tonight. Psalm 122, look there, first verse in that one. The Bible says in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, wouldn't it be good if everybody that was going to come would say that? Everybody would come and we'd say, well, I'm going to be there early. Why? I want a good seat. I want a good seat. I tell you, you want to kill the preacher, man, when they open the doors, rush in and sit close. Preacher goes, man, what's going on here, you know? But it's amazing. It is just amazing. Now, usually we come to church and we have our assigned seats. We assigned them. We assign our own seats to ourselves, you know. You confuse the preacher when you sit in the seat that's not your assigned seat. We look around, we're going, what are you doing there? You're supposed to be, you know, but we're assigned those seats. Here we are. We don't come with that sense of expectation. Boy, if we did, but just get here early. Just to kind of get warmed up, you know. Ever thought about practicing? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You'll just warm it up. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Well, let me just ask you now. Come on, be honest with you. How much of a sense of expectation do you come to the house of God with? You're just looking for something, and you're coming there, you know, and boy, you ought to be meeting people and greeting folks. Now, I'll be honest with you. You folks are pretty good about meeting folks and greeting folks, but boy, we ought to be there, you know, exhorting one another, and just fired up, ready for things to get going with that sense of expectation. Boy, we're here. We're ready to go. Ready to go. Doing this live streaming thing, we get it set up, and if you've ever watched it from home, the way we're doing it now, it comes on, but it's not on, all right? You kick in, but there's not a picture, but I think you can hear some sounds, you know, maybe. You must be able to, because somebody texted me a couple of services ago and said, man, that's good whistling. They could hear me whistling before the service, you know. So I thought, well, that's all right. I don't mind that. But they're just ready. But are you chomping at the bit, you know? There's a service that I sometimes watch, and their services are like that. You tune in, and there's nothing there. And I'm impatient, so I don't own a computer. I drag it up, and I said, I don't want to sit through all this. Let's get to the stuff, all right? Let's get this thing going, you know? And boy, that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be a sense of expectation, right? If we'd come with that sense, what a difference it would make for us. Hey, I'm expecting something to happen in this service. The second thing ought to be is there need to be participation. Participation, all right? I mean, at the ball game, there's participation. They sing the alma mater, all right? People sing their alma mater. I go to high school games, they sing the alma mater sometime. They'll sing the fight song, and you can tell people don't know the words, but they know somewhere in there it may say fight, 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 and they're ready for that part, you know? I'm ready. I want to be involved. I want to get involved. You know, the national anthem is played. And, well, when the national anthem is played, at the end of it, man, there's cheering and clapping. And why? People are excited. They want to be involved, you know. They just want to be involved. There is that sense of just I could participate in what we're doing. Well, we ought to have that attitude when we come to the house of God. We ought to have that attitude. We ought to come expecting something, but we ought to come planning. I'm going to participate. And we've got anthems at church, but a lot of people don't sing like they want to sing them. Now, tonight, boy, I thought singing sounded good, all right? I like it when it sounds good, but I watch people in church. I sit up here, and I kind of gaze around, watch people, and then a lot of times you see people in church, you look like they're sour, and you think, man, oh, man, life must have been tough this week, you know? Or you must have had a fight with your husband or your wife before you got here, or somebody drug you and you didn't want to come, you know, arms crossed, and they've got that sour look upon them, and Brother Marion gets there, and he's trying to get people to sing, and he kind of has to pump them to get them to do it, you know, and we go through it. Hey, you got a chance to participate. Got a chance to participate. Hey, you got a chance to participate when we pass the offering. Man, that's when people duck. Man, I got to go to the bathroom right now, you know, and duck out. There's a place where you can be involved, though. You can get involved. You know, it's amazing how people, the ushers are passing the offering plate, and all of a sudden you're studying your pants leg. You know? Or, man, I forgot to shine my shoes. Look at that. You know? Man, we just duck the whole thing. You know, hey, that's a chance for you to participate. You can participate. You say, well, every time they come, I always want money. You ever go to a ball game for nothing? Come on now. Man, last time I went to a Ranger game is the last time I planned to ever go because of how much they charged me to park the stupid vehicle. That wasn't to get in for the game. It was just to park the vehicle. Hey, by the way, here refreshments are free. You can have you a drink of cold water, fine. We don't charge anything for it. Don't we just don't. I mean, now you can go to the ball game, you pay excessive prices. You can buy a 50-cent hot dog there for about $7 or $8. I mean, come on, you really participate. Participate. Why? We're in the house of God. We want to get the most out of what's going on. Hey, come with a sense of expectation. Come planning to participate. This is not a spectator sport, all right? It's not a spectator sport. Even during the preaching, all right? Even during the preaching, you participate. Now, I don't want you to do like a guy that I used to go, and I hear this fellow, he was a preacher, and we go to a preacher's meeting, and he's sitting out there, and the preacher's preaching, and he's trying to preach right along with him. Now, if I'd have been preaching, I'd have said, hey, bud, when it's your turn, you preach. Right now, it's my turn, all right? You can say amen, glory, hallelujah, jump the pew if you want to. But I don't need your help. I can do it, all right? But, hey, you can participate. There's nothing wrong with, amen, preacher. Or if need be, oh me. Nod your head. Yes. Used to have Daryl. Daryl used to come. Daryl's my next door neighbor. He's a black guy. Man, I love it. He'd be here and he'd say, that's right. Man, I like to hear him say that. I just enjoyed that. All right, now he moved and he doesn't live around anymore. But boy, hey, you know what? That's a good thing. Participate a little bit. Participate. You don't know how difficult it is. The most difficult thing I've done during all of this pandemic junk is to come and to preach this sermon before we got the live streaming going. And I'd come maybe Friday night, sometime Saturday afternoon, and I'd be here with usually just Brother Dunbar and myself, and I preach to an empty bunch of pews. That's the most difficult thing in the world I've ever tried to preach to, because it's amazing how much you help the preacher. The second most difficult thing to do is when you preach there and everybody's like this. I mean, really, no reaction, nothing. You're thinking, these people die while I was preaching or what? If nothing else, fold your arms and look mad. That's okay. I don't mind, you know. But, hey, a little participation. But not only that, there needs to be some anticipation. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm talking about, remember the football game we were talking about? We get there, the game starts, and, boy, the attention is riveted on that ball game. People don't want to miss a single play. Just it's like going to the race, if you like races. The only thing I really care about on races is wrecks. I'm not a race fan, you know. But I'd always hate it. My brother and I used to go to the Kennedale Cowtown Speedway and dirt track races, and it always irritated me when I was looking that way and the wreck was over here, all right, you know. Hated to miss that thing like that, but man, you watch every play. People are going. People cheer the good plays, you know. Man, they're excited. We boo the ref, you know. We do that. We groan over every missed opportunity, you know. That wide receiver, he's 5 yards behind everybody. The pass is just floating right in there, and it floats right through his hands. And you can hear the whole crowd. Oh, you know, this big groan. Huh? There's that anticipation. They were expecting something to happen. You say, preacher, you lost me in this sermon. I don't like sports, okay? It's the same thing over TV shows. I used to say over soap operas. Not many soap operas left anymore, but it's the same kind of deal. People look forward to it. You know, we get tuned in on there. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, I guarantee you, if that gal's tied on the railroad tracks, they'll get her loose before the train comes. Going to happen. It's going to be all right, okay? That star of that show, you know, he's been shot. We're not going to find out until next season. Don't worry, they'll heal him. Don't worry, it'll be all right. It's going to rise again, you know. So, but man, there's none of that anticipation when we come to the house of God. Well, can I tell you this? I believe when you get in the house of God and we get in the service, we've come with a sense of expectation. We've come deciding, you know what, I'm going to participate. But we ought to come with some anticipation with, hey, what's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen this morning? What's going to take place? What's the preacher going to preach on today? Man, maybe even who's going to preach today? There's just that anticipation of what's going to happen. Hey, who's going to get right with God? And who's going to get saved today? What's going to happen in the service? Just that anticipation. We ought to have that anticipation. Lord, what are you going to talk to me about today? To be that sense. But so many times we come to the house of God, here I am. That's almost like, all right, go ahead, Bridger, bless me. See if you can stir my heart today. Hey, see if you can keep me awake. I'll never forget going to youth camp. Dr. Jim Vineyard was preaching, and there was a boy in there dozing off. Old Brother Vineyard stopped. He said, son, wake up. And he woke up. A little bit later, he stopped again. He said, son, get up. Go stand in the back. You know, you don't fall asleep standing up. If you do, you wake up when you hit the floor, all right? So, but it's amazing. That old boy, he stood there. He paid attention the rest of the time. Hey, look, that anticipation of what's going on. Come on. What's God going to do for me? We come to the house of God. Hopefully we don't come to the house of God because, well, it's Sunday morning or it's Sunday night or it's Wednesday night, and that's what we do. No, that is what we do, but I don't come. I come expecting and anticipating what God's going to do. When I go to a football game, I go anticipating my team winning. Or if I don't have a team, I go anticipating an exciting game. Man, I go and... You say, well, why do you go if you don't have a team there? Because I like a good ball game. Now, and I'm really, be honest with you, I'm talking about high school football. I wouldn't pay a quarter to watch the Cowboys do their thing or any other pro team nowadays. But, man, I love them high school kids that get out there and knock their heads and give it everything they've got. You say, who do you root for? The team's got the ball. I don't care who the team is, got the ball. They go to it, you know. And, man, we get excited. People yell and scream, jumping up and down, you know. And just having a good old time, there's that anticipation. Something's going to happen. Hey, do you come to church with that attitude? Do you come to church? Do we come with that sense of expectation to begin with? Get there. I want to be there. Make sure I get my song sheet. Make sure I'm ready to go. When it starts, I'm ready, and I'm going to participate. But, Lord, I'm expecting you to speak to me. I want you to deal with my heart. Hey, listen, I preach, and I preach to you, but I preach to me too. But every time I can, I go listen to somebody else preach to me because I need the preaching. And when I go, I want them to let me have, I mean, preach. Preach. Go for it. Most irritating thing that happens to me is on vacation, and everywhere I go on vacation, the preacher is never there. It's always a stand-in. But the preacher's always gone. And when I take a vacation, every preacher whose church I'm going to visit, he hears about it, and he leaves. But, I mean, just it turns out that way all the time. But I won't, man, just preach, you know. Preach. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Is that the way you come? Is that the way you come? You know, a lot of people say, preach, I just don't get anything out of church. And that's always directed at the preacher. It's your fault. It's your fault. Well, wait a minute. I don't know how many, you ever picked blackberries? Or picked anything? What do you go? If you really going after something, if you're after it, do you carry something to put it in? I never went to pick blackberries just with my pockets. I mean, we had some pails or something. We were out there with some buckets. Why? Because we were going to get something, and I need something to put it in. A lot of people come to church, they have no expectation. They're not planning to participate. They're not anticipating anything. And then it's the preacher's fault when they don't get anything. Preacher, I don't get anything. And then I've had, and within 1 week's time, I've had people tell me in years past, preacher, man, the preaching's good. I just really love the preaching, and it really feeds my soul. I'll see somebody else that week, and they say, preacher, we're not coming back. We're just not getting fed. Now, somebody's got something messed up, all right? Something's wrong somewhere. Hey, I believe it's because we don't come. We don't come with that expectation. We don't really participate. We kind of sit with a grudge that we're even there, and where there's no anticipation except how long is this going to last. That brings me to the last point. I believe there ought to be some exaltation. You ever been at the ball game? It's a close game. Coming down to the final gun. And there's two situations. Actually, three. One, your team is so far behind that you're rooting far that you can forget it, all right? But the other one is, hey, we're ahead, and what happens? Your team's ahead, clock's ticking down. What begins to happen? People in the stands start counting it down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And more hits that jerk. Yeah, man, and all screaming and carrying on, you know, whooping it up there. And we won the game. Or it's right down there, it's very tense, and that's all going to be determined at the last second. They're lining up for the field goal. And you got people on both sides praying. People over here praying, oh, Lord, don't let him make it. Don't let him make it. Let him block it. And over here on the other side, everybody's got their toes crossed, their fingers crossed, and they're praying, oh, Lord, let him hit this. Don't let him miss. Don't let him choke now, you know. Hey, we're waiting, and that ball's kicked, and everybody is staying. There is that moment, man, it's quiet. And if it goes through, they're shouting. If it misses, they're shouting. Just different sides, all right? But there's exultation. You with me? There's a sense of excitement. Man, got down to the end. Wasn't that a great game? Man, what a game. At church, we wait for the final amen. Brother so-and-so, would you dismiss us in prayer? Closes his head and he prays. At that amen, it's like, boom! Out the back door. Watch out, you know. You know, old folks, stay in your seat. You're going to get trampled. I mean, it's just out of here. We're on the way. I've got to get to the restaurant. I've got to get home. There's a TV show on, you know. I've got to get some family gathering. I mean, boom, let me out. You with me? I mean, come on, that's the way it is. So many times. Oh, wouldn't it be good if there'd just be a time of rejoicing? After the service. Boy, think about it. The truth has been preached. The truth has been preached. Boy, that's something to get excited about, folks. The devil's been defeated, all right? Or to be, hey, I got some encouragement. I got some encouragement. There was something there that helped me. Lord, I'm walking out this door today closer to you than I was when I walked in. Just closer to you. Well, wouldn't that be so much better? How much better? Listen, here's Eutychus. I don't know what he came. I don't know. We can, maybe he's a steel worker, you know, and there's no steel workers in, but I don't know what he did. I don't know. Maybe just super tired. I don't know. Or maybe it was just something that he you know, he really wasn't with him. He really wasn't paying attention. I don't know what happened to him. And I'll tell you this, we see people come to the house of God nowadays, And it's like, man, I'm suffering to be here. I'm just suffering to be here. I've had people tell me I'm out visiting, and they'll say, preacher, you know, I have to work 6 days a week, and on Sunday, I need to rest. I say, I promise, if you'll come, we won't make you move pews. Promise. You won't have to do that. You can just come. Enjoy the service. We won't work you. Don't worry. But it's amazing, you know. People come to the house of God, and they come with no sense of excitement. They're there with no anticipation of anything, not really expecting to get anything from God. I don't know how you feel, folks. When I come to the house of God, I want to get something. I want to get something. Hey, the preacher may preach on something that, man, I'm right with God about, but I want to listen close because I'll get something if I'll pay attention. I'll get something if I'll pay attention. If I'll listen, there'll be something for me there. God will use it. But boy, we don't come with that sense of expectation. We're not willing to participate. We're not anticipating it. We start out and we look at our watch and go, okay, man, hopefully he'll be done in 30 minutes. Hopefully this won't last too long. Sure enough, the preacher starts preaching and you're there and you begin. Hey, look, you're not, you know, people do that. There's not an anticipation. The only thing they're anticipating is that final amen. Man, would you, preacher, this, you know, when the preacher says, all right, my final point, you go, thank God. You know, I don't think we'd ever get here, right? But wait a minute. There ought to be that anticipation. There ought to be that waiting. Lord, what are you doing for me? What are you going to do for me? When the service is over, thank you, Lord, I got something from you tonight. That you spoke to my heart. You helped me. You helped me. It wasn't everything there maybe wasn't what I needed. But I didn't sit there through the service going, I hope Brother Jones is getting this. No, man, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Hey, how do you come when you come to church? You come with that sense of excitement. You come that way, or is it just habitual? Is it just, well, here we go again? I'm not a big baseball fan. Because to me, baseball can be extremely boring. Because I'm not entertained by it. Look at that. He struck out another one. I saw today some pitcher struck out 9 guys in a row, tied the American League record, you know. 9 batters in a row, struck them out. Not just they got, but struck out 9 in a row. That would have been so exciting. I like to see him hit the ball, man. Now, if he gets thrown out trying to stretch a single into a double, that's exciting. But strike out. Strike out. Strike out. Okay, you guys come in and strike out. Well, these that struck out can go out there and watch you strike out. Not me. I'm not excited. To think about having a season ticket for baseball, I can sleep at home. And it's a lot more comfortable in my recliner than it is in one of them stadium seats. I wouldn't want to be interested. But I don't come to the house of God with that attitude. I come, Lord, I'm expecting something. I'm coming because I'm looking forward to it. And when it's time to sing, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. I've said it before. I think you ought to give it everything you got when it's time to sing. You say, I'm not a good singer. Who cares? We're not in competition. We're not in competition. Last Sunday, I walked out, had to go get something out of the office. I was coming back in, and I was just so blessed by how good the singing sounded from out in the vestibule. I thought, boy, man, that's great. It's wonderful. I came in. Now, I'm going to say this and embarrass the fire out of it, but old Dalen was back there, and he was singing up a storm, man. And I thought, well, amen. Amen. Keep up the good work, all right? Man alive, come with a sense of expectation. Participate. Anticipate. Lord, what are you going to do for me? And then when the service is over, how good it'd be. You want to bless the preacher and say, man, you're not done already, are you? You can't quit now. But the Lord will give you something. Listen, if you'll come that way, you'll get something more out of coming to church. It'll help you. It'll help you. You'll get something, you'll go home and say, you know, it's been good to be in the house of God. It's been good. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, what a blessing it is, what a privilege it is that we even can come to the house of God. We can fellowship with other believers. Lord, we can hear the word of God preached. We can sing. We can be challenged. Our hearts can be blessed. Lord, we can be lifted up. And Lord, you can speak to us if we just come listening for your voice. Lord, would you help us every service to come anticipating what you're going to do for us in that service. And Lord, bless and help. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.